This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's a worldwide logistical operation underway now to pick up vacationers stranded after their travel company went suddenly bust. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The British government overnight cobbled together a network of airlines to get British holidaymakers back home after the oldest travel agency in the world collapsed late yesterday. Thomas Cook, with roots back to 1841, fell abruptly into the hands of a bankruptcy court after financial rescue talks failed. Thomas Cook has 21,000 employees, but there are also an estimated 500,000 vacationers traveling on Thomas Cook packages stuck outside their home countries, 150,000. Thousand of them British. Thing is, Thomas Cook has its own airline with planes that can no longer fly people back. Overnight, the British government pulled in Virgin Atlantic, EasyJet, and some other carriers to get the Brits home, but it's not clear what happens to travelers of other nationalities who are also stranded. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is following this from London. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, David.
So the UK government has mounted this logistics operation to get British nationals abroad stranded back home?
Yeah, exactly. So the UK's Civil Aviation Authority has started a program to repatriate or bring back 150,000 people from the country who were abroad when the company collapsed very early this morning. There's a website, if you are abroad, that you can go to that the CAA has set up on behalf of Thomas Cook, and customers can go there to schedule a new flight home at no extra cost.
All right. Well, fingers crossed that this works, what is being described as the biggest repatriation of UK nationals in peacetime. But what are some of the pressures that brought Thomas Cook down so suddenly last night?
So the company blames a lot of different factors, including political and economic unrest in Turkey, which is a really big destination for European vacation goers. There was also a prolonged heat wave on the side of the Atlantic last year, and that kept bookings down last summer. Brexit, of course, is one thing always on the back of vacationers' minds. And then there's the rise of internet-based booking sites like Airbnb. And as one analyst put it to me this morning, it's basically just Thomas Cook is one of those really old companies. It's 178 years old, and it just failed to stay with the times. You know, it's much easier now for people to price compare and book their own flights and hotels. And so that was just another nail in Thomas Cook's coffin.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is down 0.6%. Here, things are mixed. The Dow future is down about less than 0.1%, but the NASDAQ future is up nearly 0.2%. The benchmark 10-year interest rate in the U.S. down 1.69%. We've also been following the postponement of a big stock offering from the shared workspace company WeWork. Investors were skeptical about the company's valuation of itself, and the big move to shift to the public stock market was put off, pending a rethink. Today, the Financial Times is reporting a move by some board members to possibly oust the flamboyant founder and CEO, Adam Neumann. The corporate bylaws there give him a lot of power, and ousting him would not be easy. Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you. The United Nations Climate Action Summit begins just down the street here in New York today. Let's take a moment to talk about a connection to what you're wearing. Anything brand new today? The anti-poverty group Oxfam is pushing to get people to pledge not to buy new clothes this month. Secondhand September is the hashtag. Fee Gilfeather is with Oxfam UK. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we need a definition first. Fast fashion, what's that?
Fast fashion is the culture of buying clothes sort of on a weekly basis. You might wear them once and then they're disposable. It's a sort of throwaway approach to clothing.
So the turnaround on some new clothes might be very, very quick. But you see a connection with buying new clothes and climate change?
Yes, it's quite an interesting connection to make. What we've identified through our research is that production and development of clothing creates a huge amount of carbon emissions. So we know that the textile industry accounts for more carbon emissions than international aviation and shipping combined.
And if you throw out the garment, I suppose it also ends up in a landfill, right?
That's a huge problem with the throwaway approach. So we know that 11 million garments go into landfills in the UK every week. And if you think of that on a global scale, it's a huge number of clothing.
Fee, what do you think? Does this really add up? I mean, when you look at, for instance, producers of carbon dioxide, it's power plants for electricity, it's transport, factories are also biggies. It's not just my little cotton shirt.
The industry is really a big part of the problem. We think that there's three groups of people that can sort of really make a difference. First of all, governments can make a difference in their legislation around what the textile industry should be doing. And then there's the retail and fashion industry themselves who can really take more responsibility for the production of the clothing and considering more efficient and sustainable practices in their supply chains. And then finally, it's down to us as consumers where we can really use our power to sort of make big behaviour change by demonstrating to the governments and to the industry that we want them to make a difference. We can really sort of use our consumer power to put that pressure on them.
And I want to ask this. There's a tension. I mean, people who work in the apparel industry, in the garment industry around the world, they often work in tough conditions, often dangerous. And even though they're working, their families are often still poor. If we don't buy new clothes, do we make garment workers' lives worse by reducing demand for what their employers sell?
It's definitely a big challenge. So we absolutely don't want to stop producing new clothing and creating these jobs, which are, as you say, keeping people sort of on the breadline. But we do know that people are living in extreme poverty and working in really poor conditions, and that this is something which the industry also needs to step up and change.
Fee Gilfeather is head of audience and strategic planning at Oxfam Great Britain. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Programs from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.